and our radiator in the office.
To look after that.
Probably picked it up. And then, you know, the personal highlight of my life, getting to hug Nick Jonas at the Teen Awards.
Hashtag dick.
Oh, but then your life was made, wasn't it, Phil?
I actually got to do a radio show with Joss Whedon, who not only made Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but is also the director of Avengers and generally the coolest guy in the entire universe.
How much of a scale of 1 to 10 were you dying?
I was terrified, but I had a lovely time. And he signed my Buffy comic as well, which is my prized possession.
What did he do?
He actually did a speech bubble out of Buffy saying, "Prom night was the best night of my life, Phil."
Amazing.
I could shed a tear.
Was it worth all of those traumatic events just for that one moment?
Yes.
Thank you, BBC. Okay, so we mentioned this earlier. The time has come. This is the story of the time we met One Direction.
BBC Radio 1 Teen Awards 2012. A dank corridor in Wembley Arena, London. October 7th.
In the year before we were given our Radio 1 show, Phil and I, as up-and-coming video makers for Radio 1, were asked if we wanted to interview some guests at the upcoming Teen Awards.
This was terrifying, because other than a couple of awkward moments with Bring Me the Horizon's Ollie Sykes and some people who he grabbed when they happened to be at the BBC during our recording of one of our Christmas shows, this would be the first time we'd ever done something professional at a big, serious event.
In typical Dan and Phil fashion, we started preparing the night before the event.
You mean typical Dan fashion? Hey. I wanted to prepare like 3 weeks before, but you spent several days staring at a carpet thinking about a video.
This is conjecture.
Dan, you were procrastinating.
Phil, you are ruining the flow of the story. The night before any big event we work at, even to this day, feels a bit like we're Katniss and Peter.
Don't say Katniss and Peter.
Two clones of Katniss the night before the Hunger Games.
I'm not sure if playing a game with pop stars is the same as having to survive a battle arena filled with trained death machines.
Well, if you think about
it... Okay, I'll continue the story. Our last minute preparation meant that we didn't have an opportunity to write our questions on super professional looking folded A4 pieces of paper until we were in the car on the way to the arena. I don't like looking at things in a moving car.
Phil gets motion sickness if he blinks for too long and sees his eyelids while moving.
Thanks. So we were desperately scribbling with permanent markers.
Which made my entire hand pitch black because of my left-handed handicap. Very professional looking.
And trying to mentally prepare ourselves, but one thing was sticking at the front of our brains. We were told we might meet One Direction.
Now, I understand these events are crazy and you can never guarantee an artist will turn up. People might not have time or someone could be a diva and not like the colour of a carpet, but you can't just tell someone they might meet One Direction.
1D in 2012 were literally the most talked about people on the entire planet. Mm-hmm. It's when the internet has been at its craziest for anything to do with them. So not only were our scary bosses like, "We know what you do with them will be great," but we knew whatever we did would be watched by millions of Directioners online.
You could say this added to our concerningly rapidly rising anxiety levels.
A bit.
Maybe. And what were we greeted with when we arrived at the arena? A pulsating, frothing ocean of thousands of screaming One Direction fans.
It was like 1,000 of those screaming firework rockets going off at the same time. All the time. Or like being in a room with 1 billion excited bees.
The ground actually shook. I'm convinced that that amount of high-frequency noise must affect the tectonic plate somehow. Either way, no cat in a 4-mile radius must have lived through that evening without exploding.
And then we were taken to the crew entrance. If you're expecting anything to do with TV or radio to be glitzy, then you will be disappointed.
Yeah.
It was like a saw trap.
Okay, slight exaggeration there.
It was like the kind of scary concrete basement a saw trap would be in, just without the pointy death machine.
That's true, and my god, was the atmosphere absolutely terrifying. We were being shepherded down tight corridors with flickering lights, and every now and then there would be this terrifying wave of noise where reverberating screams would literally shake the dust off the exposed pipes above us.
Kind of like Katniss getting bombed in District 13.
Let the Hunger Games metaphors go, Phil.
Okay.
Now, this kind of hectic atmosphere is what we learned dressing rooms before. If you are a fancy presenter or a pop star who has to practice for something or, you know, get in the zone to perform, you need a room to emotionally prepare.
We didn't have a room.
No. You see, the thing is, back then, we weren't really known to a lot of people at Radio 1. We weren't people with a popular radio show. We were just two weirdos with strange haircuts who sometimes loitered awkwardly in the corner of their office talking about stuff for their YouTube channel. This was back when YouTube was still seen as a place for only weirdos and cats.
We were and definitely are still weirdos.
I'm not denying this. So when all of the established radio presenters and scary TV people were running around making their actually important stuff with their big teams before going back to their private sanctuary, we had to just stand awkwardly in a corner eating the crisps we stuffed into Phil's backpack.
We were at least excited to see the backstage area where we'd film these interviews, though.
Ah, yes. the toilets.
They weren't just toilets.
Pretty much.
It was more like a mix between a laundry cupboard and a World War II bunker that happened to have toilets in them. We were told that all the dressing rooms and free spaces were occupied, and this was the only area left.
This room was in total the size of an average car. There was more room in the actual toilets themselves, and one of the presenters, Matt Edmondson, decided to actually film his interviews in the toilet, which meant everyone helping him was stood outside, pushing us further into the wall.
There was one of those mirrors with light bulbs around it, though.
No, you're right. That did excite me.
Thankfully, we were told that if it was going to happen, 1D would be the last thing that would happen in our day, giving us time to practice on Little Mix and Conor Maynard.
Practice on sounds kind of weird when you put it like that.
What could that even mean? Anyway, it was terrifying. It's not just a nice introduction and a chat, and then you have to spend a few relaxing moments having fun with the person. Firstly, one of their people comes in and they give information to another person, and then a senior person double checks and gives us a scary look before asking exactly what we're going to do with the pop star.
I mean, what did it look like we were going to do?
You've got shifty eyes. It was probably that.
Hey.
Then, with about 20 people crammed into this tiny, dark and kind of weird-smelling room, all staring at you wondering, who are these internet people and why are they here? The pop star walks into the room.
To be fair, from our experience, the person themselves is usually quite happy and lovely, just not their Terminator squad that you have to meet before.
We got told by everyone, they only have 5 minutes, so make it quick.
When we've prepared at least 11 videos lasting an hour and a half for each person.
And we suddenly have to change our plans and decide exactly what we're doing.
You see, that's usually when you start doing your panic face, Phil.
What?
You have this face you do when you get all panicky and flustered and you start pacing and doing that weird hand thing you do when you stick your hand in your pocket.
Oh, okay, thanks. Now I'll be self-aware forever in any kind of situation like that.
You're welks, mate.
So after hours spent in our tiny bunker, which I'm sure was dangerously low on oxygen by this point.
It was how I imagine being buried alive to be like, just with more strange toilet odour coming from around the corner and people talking into Bluetooth headsets.
We were told that One Direction were coming.
Then came probably the most amount of people to check everything was okay for the group that I had ever seen. I was concerned that if the 1D guys tried to fit in the room as well, we'd be compressed into a cube of meat and die.
Nice vivid image. Then, when the last of the people arrived, he told us all the news. The guys only had 10 minutes and then they had to leave, so they could only do one interview. And given the choice of two weirdos making videos on YouTube or the actual presenter interviewing them in a toilet, who do you think they picked?
We were mildly heartbroken, not just because of our preparation, but because meeting One Direction would have probably been at that point the most popular, relevant thing we'd done in our entire lives.
The room suddenly emptied like someone blew a hole in a spaceship and an eerie silence fell.
They entered the room and everything went into slow motion.
That might just have been for you, Dan.
Well, okay, I'll tell this bit. I was blinded. A bright, warm glow as if angels themselves were stroking my face.
Okay, I'll take over. Seriously, though, they all looked perfect. I want a stylist.
You with a stylist? You know the first thing they do is get rid of your fringe, right?
I'm not ready to let go of the fringe. It's who I am.
It's a bit of my space you've been struggling to let go of since 2006, and we both know it.
Anyway, we were too awkward and kind of sad to do anything, so we blended in with the coat rack and watched them go off into the toilet to do the other interview.
We had to do something. We had it all prepared. Animal impressions, a drawing challenge, creepy questions from Tumblr, I hand-sourced, I even wanted to get in a sneaky super note to help me win an internet competition.
They took so long in that toilet, it was like 15 minutes, and I was like, way to hog 1D, you boy band warthog.
Hey, hey, don't be mean about Matt, we like him.
He nearly ruined our entire lives, though.
Nearly, but we worked it out, and as they started to squeeze out of the toilet door with one of their people, I, in the bravest moment of my entire existence, jumped in front of the scary headset man and said, hi, we're Dan and Phil, we're two guys from YouTube who make YouTube videos called YouTubers, and we're here with Radio 1 making stuff for their official YouTube channel, and we know the 1D fans on the internet would really like if you made a quick video with them. I promise it'll only take 10 minutes, please. He said yes.
We were totally sneaky, but somehow, with the man staring angrily at his fancy-looking watch the whole time, we managed to film 3 videos with them.
Okay, let's break it down for the listeners. What happened second by second when we met the guys?
It was crazy. We were 400% flustered because Captain Sirius was telling us that we had 1 minute, so we awkwardly waved at them all and said, hey, we're Dan and Phil, we're doing stuff for Radio 1 on YouTube.
I remember Harry nodding and saying, nice to meet you, Dan and Phil. And in that moment, my life was complete.
They were all actually really friendly and happy and excited. I remember thinking Niall was like a hyperactive puppy. Then, however, I started to detect a strange smell.
You know, I thought it might have just been the toilet room wafting over.
No, it was definitely in our room. I looked over to Louis and his first words to me were, do you think someone farted?
Wow. Was it you?
No, it wasn't me. Was it you?
No, it was probably Zane. He was the quiet one.
I tried not to concentrate on it, and thankfully it dispersed throughout the air.
Do you think they noticed? Is One Direction's memory of us the time someone farted before those two guys interviewed us?
Even if it is, someone out there would still be jealous of us.
Very true. We immediately started recording in case they were whisked away by the Terminator squad. How exactly did you end up touching Liam's head?
Oh yeah, the biggest world news that week was that Liam had shaved his head.
I'm sure support hotlines had their busiest week ever, and shrines dedicated to his brown hair were torn down in bereavement.
I just said, I like your hair, and then he asked if I wanted to stroke it.
You do realise millions of people would probably commit unspeakable crimes to have that experience. What was it like?
A tall hedgehog? Or a curvy doormat?
You heard it here, guys. So, now that we'd somehow got this opportunity, we had to make the most of it. Straight in with the animal impressions. A very creative Dan and Phil content classic there.
I remember Louis' eagle impression was surprisingly accurate.
And that's coming from you. High accolades indeed.
Then, without making it seem like we were stopping or doing anything different, we got straight into the drawing challenge. Unfortunately, I only brought 4 pens.
Seriously.
So, there was a bit of an awkward moment where Niall was stood by himself with nothing to hold. Fortunately, I had a green pen in my pocket.
As you just magically secrete colourful stationery.
It's been known to happen. And then, seamlessly flowing into a supernote and some creepy questions while the important man's angsty watch tapping got faster, we did it!
As soon as we blinked to symbolise the video finishing, the guy was like, right, okay, let's go. But we hadn't gotten a picture. Don't judge us, okay? Even if you have the least interest in One Direction ever, you'd want a photo with them. I said don't judge us.
We thought the moment was lost, when our friend Laura May, like she was diving on a grenade, jumped in front of the man and said, quick, picture for the Twitter page!
It wasn't for their Twitter, it was for us. Thank you, dear friend.
And with that, our crazy day was over.
We just kind of sank against the wall, trying to process all the sensory input from probably the most insane day of our lives so far. Squeezing through the shaking concrete corridors like the intestines of a terrifying giant, we pooped out into the parking lot and got in a car on the way home.
I made sure to open the window and not look at anything on this car journey.
When we arrived back at our apartment, we ordered a pizza and both slept for about 14 and a half hours. And that was the time we met One Direction. The
One
Word
Story
Game.
One Word Story Games are a beautiful way of sharing pure creativity with a friend.
You tune in to each other's emotional wavelengths to not just finish each other's sentences, but build a story word by word.
Basically, you take it in turns to each say a word and try and tell a story.
And what you are left with is often either profound or a horrifying mess. Now, your first attempt at this wasn't very good, was it, Phil?
It was not.
Why don't we just read it for them?
Okay.
Once.
Day.
Once day.
I was under pressure.
Congratulations. Okay, so then we attempted to make one that actually made sense.
Yeah.
We did this one at a time, and I think it turned out quite interestingly. So do you want to tell it?
Here's the first story we made.
Once
upon
a
time
in
London,
a
tiny
door
was
discovered
underneath
a
soldier
standing
next
to
Buckingham
Palace.
Behind
the
tiny
door
was
a
giant
otter
named
Gary.
Gary's
eyes
were
carrots
because
he
couldn't
see
after
the
incident
involving
angry
waiters.
Today,
Gary
decided
to
go
into
the
city
to
destroy
the
London
Eye.
When
he
got
there,
he
released
his
emotions
as
he
realized
he
didn't
have
a
friend
to
play
with.
Gary
died
of
loneliness. Wow,
poor
that
Gary.
Was so sad. I don't think either of us were expecting it to go in that direction.
See, that's the genius of this game. It can go through a deep, dark place you never knew.
Yeah, I said it would either be profound or a mess, and that was both.
Okay, this is the second story we created together.
You first this time.
Aliens
are
secretly
watching
us
poop
because,
unbeknownst
to
us,
they
can
use
our
poop
as
fuel
for
their
probes.
The
probes
are
used
for
working
out
whether
humans
can
sing
or
not.
The
aliens
were
working
for
Simon
Cowell
to
discover
the
next
Leona
Lewis.
When
aliens
discover
this
singer,
they
will
absorb
their
voice
and
insert
it
into
the
boy
band
generator
to
take
over
the
minds
of
young
teens
across
Earth
and
eat
their
brains.
It
will
be
glorious
when
they
finally
sing
and
the
universe
will
bow
before
their
sexy
coordinated
rhythm.
Well, that was terrifying.
And I thought that would actually be true as well.
Yeah.
I can't decide whether that's a script for a future blockbuster movie or an unearthed conspiracy theory. I mean, better than most of the book that we spent quite a while thinking about, to be honest.
Either way, that is the one-word story game. As we said, you can see how it's really fun.
Or a terrible mistake.
Yeah. Why not try it with your friends and see what incredible stories you can make together?
One word at a time. Going deep with Dan and Phil.
The apocalypse.
Hello, and welcome to Going Deep with Dan and Phil.
Going deep? Really?
You don't even know what the idea of this is yet, so don't shoot it down already, idea sniper.
I'm totally not an idea sniper. Okay, what's your idea?
Well, we've discussed a wide range of things so far. People have got to know our early lives, our YouTube stories, what we're like as people. So I thought, why not take it to the next level?
And how do you plan to level us up, Dan? Some kind of mushroom?
Nope. By discussing deep and meaningful things. You know those conversations you have with friends at 2 a.m. that end up with you both going, whoa, I would like to share that with our listeners.
Getting intimate. I like it.
Now you're making it strange.
Okay, sorry. So what are we talking about first, Deep Daniel?
Don't call me that. The apocalypse.
Wow, that is deep. Like the movie Deep Impact?
Yes, Phil. Exactly like that. Wow, an acceptable pun. Well done.
Thanks. I thought that was good too.
So, Phil, how do you think the world is going to end?
I think the sun is just going to explode one day without any warning.
Well, I mean, due to light speed and stuff, we'd have about 8 minutes warning before the many varieties of death come for us.
8 whole minutes? How would you spend them if you saw the sun, like, explode in the sky?
Probably make some microwave popcorn, sit in my sofa crease, say goodbye on the internet, and listen to some cool apocalypse music.
That's a pretty good plan. Plus, when the wave of fire hits us, one of the popcorn kernels you ate might pop inside your melting stomach.
Mm. Nice and graphic there, Phil. Might have put me off popcorn for a while.
So if the sun doesn't randomly explode, how do you think the world will end?
Well, brushing aside the likelihood of humans destroying it themselves, I've always fancied the idea of a giant meteor indiscriminately cruising past the Earth and obliterating it.
Couldn't we just fly up to it and blow it up like Bruce Willis whilst Aerosmith plays in the background?
I thought you were a Deep Impact man.
Only for the puns, Armageddon has the key to my heart.
Somehow I think the logistics of the meteor exploding operation would be a bit more complicated than in the movies. I think it's more likely that we'll have the technology to just bail on Earth and populate another planet.
Where would we go?
Well, Mars seems like a bit of a depressing dust fest, so I hope they find somewhere more interesting soon.
Not everyone would get to go on the ship, though. How would people get chosen to be rescued?
I'm guessing you're either important or some kind of lotto.
Do you think I'd be important enough to get on?
Well, I mean, this is just a hypothetical spaceship, and I don't want to make you all depressed. So, sure, Phil, you would totally get on the rocket.
Yay!
Any other theory? What if it doesn't come from space and the threat lies within our own space bubble?
What if nature turns against us? Imagine all the trees suddenly decide they've had enough and reverse drink our oxygen and then we all die. The clouds could all rain acid and the ground could open and close like chomping jaws of destruction.
I'm not sure how likely that is, but I would sure as hell pay to see that at the cinema.
The nature apocalypse.
Though saying it's unlikely, new strange things are being discovered on our planet every day.
Like ligers.
I think ligers are fairly old news, but they are pretty cool.
I'm all for tiger-slash-lion relationships, personally.
How progressive of you.
I'm also suspicious of ants.
Why is that?
They're too organised, and there's too many of them. They are definitely planning something and could totally take over the world if they wanted.
Well, apparently there are 1,500,000 ants for every human on Earth.
See, told you, antpocalypse. It's the only real theory. I bet it'll happen in, like, 57 years.
I can't help but feel like we got a little sidetracked and this maybe ended up less deep than I originally intended.
You could say we had some good, but ant-er.
See, now that totally undid the clever reference you made earlier, Phil.
Oh, really? Hey, can I pick the topic next time? I've got a great idea.
Well, no, this was kind of supposed to be my thing that I had a whole plan for.
Pretty please, I promise it'll be so deep you'll get stuck in it and never be able to climb out.
Wow, well, that got weird fast, so I'm just going to agree to make it stop. We'll see you next time on Going Deep for another spirited discussion on the fundamental questions of our universe.
Reasons why Dan's a
I mumble. You won't be able to understand 99% of the things that I say, even if you have to say, what, on the impossibly awkward third time, please tell me if you can't understand me. Just don't bother going to a party with me. I'm effectively mute. Procrastination. I suffer from chronic procrastination and would go to extreme lengths that require ironically massive amounts of effort to put off doing something that I need to finish. I talk to myself. It's pretty weird, I know, I just don't have that bit in my brain to tell me to keep thoughts inside my head and instead they silently come out of my mouth. I think that people avoiding me in busy shops is an advantage, personally. Web history. I am irrationally paranoid of anyone touching my computer in case they see the horrific secrets of my hard drive. I don't think there's anything bad on there, but, I mean, come on, who trusts their 3 a.m. browsing? I'm a mess. I drop things behind furniture to avoid properly sorting them. I hide clothes in a vertical mountain inside my wardrobe. All other missing objects I blame on thieving stealthy interdimensional goblins. Only rational explanation. Cool handshakes. I just don't get them. I'm sorry. I've practiced, I've looked at video tutorials, but if you come up to me expecting a weird high-five shoulder bump thing, I will probably just fall over and it'll be embarrassing for both of us. Psycho thoughts. I sometimes contemplate my own ability to murder people. It's fine. I won't do it. I just think about how I could. I mean, we all could. The void is calling. It wants me to jump into it.
Don't jump into it.
Thanks, Phil. I care too much. I am overly empathetic to the point that I actually annoy my friends at parties with how concerned I am for their enjoyment. Near-death experiences. I am prone to constantly having near-fatal accidents. It'll never actually happen, I hope, but I will get close at least twice a week. Try to stay a meter away from me at all times and keep an eye out for all objects, moving vehicles, and limbs. You never know what might happen. Inappropriate winking. I don't know why I do it, but I do. I don't know when it will happen, probably at the worst moment, but I will just randomly bust out a wink. I promise, if I ever do it to you, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a horribly, horribly confused impulse I get and nothing more. Please don't contact the authorities. Personal space. Touch my neck and I will kill you. It's not difficult.
As an experiment, I'm going to touch Dan's neck right now.
No, I'm going to punch you. Left-handedism. It's a cruel affliction, so given the right-handed bias of our society, it should be a crime to force this on young impressionable children. How would you feel if literally everything was backwards or upside down? Butterfingers. I inexplicably drop things sometimes. Just don't let me hold your newborn or your grandma's ashes. Human interaction. I don't like talking to people. Okay, yes, I would live on the moon if I had an infinitely stocked fridge and an internet connection. And spiral of lies. If I tell a white lie to spare someone's feelings, it will spiral out of control into a ridiculous fairy tale of deceit that will get more and more extreme until it implodes, destroying my social life.
Why did you put so far?
Because, Phil, this list is nowhere near yet complete, and there are probably many more to be discovered. My life.
I just realised if you curve my face on this page, I look like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Don't do that to your copy of the book if you buy it, please.
No. Anyway. Things Phil thought were true that are actually not true. The moment when you suddenly discover that your whole life has been a lie, like the carpet of your existence has been whipped out from underneath you and you doubt everything you've ever learned. AKA, when something that you thought was true turns out to be not true. For example, age 13, when I visited an aquarium and saw a seahorse for the first time. My whole life, I had believed that they were mythical creatures, but there was one just happily floating around in the tank, and it completely blew my mind, and I haven't been the same since. You may not even know how many of the things you believe are really lies, so on this page, I will now list all of mine to help spread the word of truth. Disney logo. Until very recently, I thought the D in the Disney logo was some kind of really weird curly G. I thought it was secretly Gizney, but no one talked about it. And then one night I was watching Aladdin and all of a sudden I saw the D. Mind-blowing stuff.
Phil saw the D.
Psychic powers. My brother convinced me that we all had psychic powers, and if I stared at a cup for long enough, I could move it with my mind. I spent a long time staring at cups. This has actually blown quite a few people's minds when I've told them. Tweety Pie is actually a boy. This changes everything. Did you know that, Dan?
No. He's a boy.
Tweety Pie's a boy.
But he was like, what? Oh, everything I thought was true was a lie.
Yeah, helpful stuff. Christmas mince pies. For most of my life, I thought they contained actual beef mince. So I was seeing my parents eating these beefy, savoury pies with a cup of tea. I was like, that's weird. So when I found that out, my mind exploded. Cows. I thought milk was actually cow pee. No one told me any different. Diddy Kong. I always thought Diddy Kong was a girl as well. Periods. I thought a period was just a holiday retreat for women. Turns out it's quite the opposite. Sex. My grandma told me that sex was a special kiss between a husband and a wife. I was worried that when I got older, I would get a girl pregnant by kissing her the wrong way.
Thanks, Grandma.
Blue from Blue's Clues is a girl. Slightly less people are affected by that one than Tweety Pie. Cats. I thought they literally had 9 lives. Thankfully, I didn't have a cat to test that theory. belly buttons. I thought that babies were born out of women's belly buttons. Don't ask me what I thought mine was for. Marriage. At a very young age, I thought all boys were destined to marry their mums. Thankfully, I grew out of that one pretty fast. Hot dogs. I thought they contained actual dog meat. Don't worry, I was very young when I thought that. Tonsil tennis. My friend told me that the way to kiss a girl was to put your tongue all the way into the back of her throat. Let's just say my first kiss did not end well. Australia. I did not understand how people could be standing on the other side of the world without falling off into space. I'll be honest, I still don't really understand that.
What gravity is a concept?
But they're upside down. Parachutes. From videos of various people parachute jumping, I thought that when the parachute opened, people were sent hurtling upwards into the sky. I then had it explained to me that it's just the person holding the camera that continues to fall. Willies. I'm glad I just got to say willies in the audiobook.
Yes.
I asked my brother how girls pee, and he told me that they had two willies that moved in different directions. This was resolved when I asked my Auntie Roz which willy she peed out of. Thanks, bro. So there are mine. I'll give you a moment to collect all the pieces of your exploded head.
So, Phil, why don't we talk about the evolution of our hairstyles throughout the years? I mean, it's definitely the most iconic thing that we are known for.
Yeah, I guess so.
Quite an adventure. What do you think about 2009?
I think we both like shaggy dogs that needed their hairs cut.
It was okay, though.
It was all right.
It was a strong okay.
It then developed into 2010, which was a lot sleeker and fluffier.
It got weighed down by the slight increase in length, I think.
So.
It still looked okay,
yeah.
I'd say. And then 2011 happened.
That was the year of regret.
Dark, dark times remembered for
everyone. Square head Dan.
It was the time of the square head Dan. I don't know how this happened. I think I just forgot to get my hair
Did
cut.
Did you forget that was a thing
It just got
do?
Slightly longer and longer, and I just got like more and more used to it until one day I was like, wait a minute. Oh God, I look so ridiculous.
It's the ultimate procrastination.
Not cutting your hair.
Yeah. 2012. We're starting to get a little bit better now. Cut off the horrible square hair.
My 2012 hair looked kind of cool, but it was a complete accident because I went to a hairdresser that I'd never been to before.
Ooh.
And I never looked like that since.
2013, I think a vast improvement for both of us.
Oh, God, can you see that? Yeah.
The ears were revealed from beneath the hair.
A very cold experience in winter.
Hashtag free the ear.
And then 2014, when we got to our normal hair that we have now.
Yeah.
We blend in with the rest of society.
That
sounds kind of like bad,
yeah.
Doesn't it? In a good way, people. Conform. Be accepted. It's the only way to not have rocks thrown at you.
Behind the camera. Dan is not on fire. Hello and welcome to our show, Behind the Camera, where we learn the secrets behind the magic of making videos. Today, we are joined by Dan Howell, also known as Dan is not on fire.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
So, Dan is not on fire. Where do you see its place in the YouTube world? What's your angle?
I guess I just think of myself as an entertainer. You know, at the end of the day, in whatever form, I make content designed to entertain people. I always try to be creative, though.
Let's talk about that. You're not really a vlogger like others, and yet your content is very personality-led.
Yeah, well, I think I'm a vlogger in the sense that I make video blog posts. Blog posts about the world, about myself, but they're definitely creations that I think of in terms of writing and performance and editing. Every video is me doing my creative take on something. I'm not really the reality star kind of vlogger whose content is mainly about following their day-to-day life.
How do you come up with your ideas?
Oh, well, I never try to think, what would people want to watch, or what would be popular, as then I think it's insincere and hard to make passionately. All of my videos come out of personal inspiration from the things that I see or happen to me. I just make videos about my life, my stories, my opinions, and try to make them firm. I have a videos idea file on my computer that has years worth of ideas on it.
Can I have a look?
Okay, just for you, each line here is an individual video idea that I could make tomorrow.
Ooh.
Don't say any. Spoilers.
Okay, Dan. So, you've got an idea. How does that turn into something people watch?
Well, once I've got an idea, I kind of write it. I don't really script videos, as then I find it's a bit unnatural. So, what I do is bullet point what I want to say and write down any great quotes that I come up with, and then I just try my best to say it in front of a camera. The tough bit is deciding how I want to creatively interpret the idea. You see, you could do anything in an infinite number of ways, and eventually I just have to settle on something, write it out, and then go through it, making sure it's perfect.
How important is the visual side of it for you?
Well, I think it's good to have a decent camera so people can see you well. I don't really know much about the technical side of filmmaking, so I try to do what I can with what I have, which is my camera and my editing. I'm definitely a substance over style kind of guy, though. For me, it's all about the quality of the content, and as long as it looks good, It's fine.
So, tell me about the editing. You don't have loads of crazy effects, but it doesn't look like you just slap it together.
Oh no, there's two kinds of editing, you see. One is the post-production, which is things like effects and colours and graphics, but real editing is choosing what to leave in and what to leave out. I honestly believe that editing is an art form, and if you're good at it, you can turn any pile of rubbish into a beautiful, sparkling diamond. I definitely spend way too long on every video, making sure it's as good as possible.
Have you ever made a video and not uploaded it?
Only once. I'm a firm believer that you shouldn't start making something until you've prepared it so well you know it'll be good. I always make sure I have a complete idea of the finished product in my head before I begin. The one time I didn't was my I'm a mess video, which I tried to make in a time limit, and then I decided to refilm it. That taught me that it's better to take your time and be happy with a video than rush and regret.
Do you have a favorite YouTube video you've made?
Well, I think the photo booth challenge is definitely the funniest video I've ever made, which is super ironic as it's the dumbest idea ever and was so easy to make. Phil and I were literally choking with laughter while editing it. I'm most proud of my videos like The College Dropout and Internet is Mean, as they are the ones that people tell me had a real profound impact on their lives. For me, that's the absolute most important thing. I was very creatively proud of my Tour of Dan's Brain video, as it was very difficult.
Finally, can you show us what is behind the camera?
Okay, this is just for you. Immersion ruined. Look at those spoilers.
So I can see a camera, a tripod. Is that a butt chair?
My chair in my bedroom, it looks like a butt.
And then why is there a computer in front of you when you film?
Oh, because I need to be able to see myself at all times. It's incredibly narcissistic.
What's that little green thing in the corner?
That's the green screen that I use to, you know, put myself into weird, terrible-looking pictures.
And what about lighting? What's this in the corner?
That's just a giant light that looks like the sun. It makes my room very hot, like a greenhouse.
Nice. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Join us next time for another episode of Behind the Camera. Dan is Not on Fire video trivia.
Dan is Not on Fire was my MySpace name when I was 13. There is no meaning behind it. I was just going through my random phase. Before I uploaded Hello Internet, there was a video on my channel of me playing a hater message I got sent on Xbox Live after annihilating someone at Halo 3. I have had 3 videos removed by YouTube for being sexually inappropriate. My parents didn't find out about my YouTube channel until someone told my mum at work that I was on the homepage. For 3 years, my tripod was just the camera balanced on a pile of books and DVDs. Many people think that Phil was the man in the suit in my How to Use a GIMP video. It was actually a man that I had never met who is usually a TV extra.
He does have my eyes though, which is really creepy.
Soul-piercing eyes.
He stole my soul.
That was a weird day. For Dan is on Fire, I had to hire a film fire specialist to safely immolate me. I wore a special rubber suit underneath my clothes to protect me from the fire, but I was told that if you inhale, the fire will go in your lungs and boil you internally. I had to delete my Psycho French Teacher video as the actual French teacher sent YouTube a letter threatening to sue me. The reason I had curly hair in the scene at Charlie McDonald's house in the I Will Go Down With This Ship video is I was so terrified of meeting him, I was nervously sweating. Rhett and Link have asked for my Iron Lung trophy I won for Supernote 2012 to be sent back to them for several years, but I don't know how to mail something so heavy internationally.
Trivia.
Am I asking for you to do that, Phil?
I'd break it up a little bit.
You can't just do that. Right before filming How to Speak Internet with Jack and Finn Harries, Finn accidentally broke the leg of his desk, causing everything, including a fishbowl, to smash on the floor. This also cut my arm open, which is why I'm wearing a gigantic plaster in the video.
I think they were secretly trying to assassinate you because you were getting too much of a threat.
Thanks, Phil. I filmed I'm a Mess 3 months before I uploaded it. For the first time ever, I wasn't entirely happy with the video I'd made, so I put it on hold until I felt like coming back and improving it. The panic alarm and the power nap were originally going to be one video just about stupid things I did at work, but I decided to split them in two because I felt they were so good. I also initially uploaded the power nap onto my side channel, Dan is Not Interesting. Oops. I wanted to direct my Lion vs. Dinosaur Extinction Race video, but I couldn't be told half the things that would happen in it as it had to be a surprise, so I had to blindly trust my friends Kieran and PJ. Tyler Oakley and I actually filmed a third video together in 2014 in case we thought it'd be a bad idea to upload the one we filmed for his channel. He decided to upload that one anyway. Whisk.
No.
After uploading my video, 12-year-old Dan's website, the website got so much traffic that the account running it was deleted for going ridiculously over its allowed bandwidth. A tour of Dan's brain was the longest I've ever spent on a video, as I had to go on multiple odysseys around London to craft the brain, and I made a huge mistake. The video worked by putting a green screen underneath the cardboard flaps of the brain, but I accidentally made parts of the design of my brain the same shade of green, so I had to do everything twice. Doll. Sexy internet dating was originally removed by YouTube as a guy who we caught trying to catfish people filed a privacy complaint. I filmed The Truth About December on holiday with my family in India because I had the idea 2 hours before I had to leave for the airport and ran out of time to film it at home. And I once asked Delia Smith's management if we could collaborate on a cooking video, but she turned me down.
Delia! Is this an actual email you got from Delia Smith?
Yeah, it is from her PA. It says, "Thank you for your request, Delia. Dan's channel is lots of fun. Delia has had a full-on year with the launch of her online cookery school." is that Norwich City Football Club? What a hero. "And Delia's cakes, and is now taking a well-earned break.
I want Delia's cakes.
Therefore, I am sorry it is not possible to help with Dan's Christmas dinner idea. Do hope he's enjoying our new sausage rolls video on the online cookery school. Please do thank Dan for his wonderful support for Delia and her recipes."
Wow. Wow.
Maybe one day, Phil. Maybe one day.
Welcome to Behind the Camera.
Amazing Phil. In this week's edition of Behind the Camera, we have Phil Lester, also known as Amazing Phil.
Thanks for having me.
You asked us to provide 17 red Skittles, a small puppy, and a violin in your dressing room. Any reason behind that?
Well, red is the best flavor of a sweet. My parents never let me have a puppy, so I figured this was my chance. Plus, my virtual son, Dil Halter, is learning violin, so I thought I'd encourage him by learning it too.
Let's have a look at your creative process. Where do you get your ideas?
I have a lot of video ideas in the shower, actually. I think it's something about completely switching off your mind in a nice warm environment that sparks off a load of weird thoughts. I also get most of my ideas from real-life situations. I am a magnet for strange and unusual people. When I met Dan, he thought I was making it all up until he witnessed loads of the encounters himself.
Did you have any weird thoughts in the shower this morning?
I actually have an idea buzzing around my head about using time travel in a video, like a message to my former self or something. I'm not sure if it'll turn into anything, but it's in my ideas book.
You have an ideas book? Can we sneak a peek?
As you asked nicely, here's a little page.
Oh, wow. So I can see things like collabs, Dan and Phil Tumblr tag, baking, psychology test. Wow, this is... Oh, do you want me to stop?
Yeah, maybe stop. That's an older page. I've actually done most of those videos. I also wrote it on a death note, so all of these ideas are probably going to die.
Is filming a vlog an easy process?
I wouldn't call it easy. Some days I feel my tongue is too big for my mouth and it takes me about 17 attempts to say a sentence. The easiness totally depends on the video. Usually I'm fine just rambling about my life, but more complicated videos like the tour of my brain can be a bit of a headache. Pun intended. Still a fun headache to be having though. The easiest videos are collab videos, as that's just capturing natural fun with another human.
Your editing style is quite creative and individual. How did it come about?
It's kind of something that's just developed over time. I like to think my videos all have a similar vibe, and I try to think about what would make me smile if I was watching it myself. I like to be able to laugh at myself too, so if I do something really weird with my face, I'll happily zoom in on it and play it backwards in slow motion.
How long does a typical video take to edit?
It varies a lot. A typical Phil vlog can take me around 5 hours to edit.
Wow.
I'm very picky, so it takes me ages to whittle it down before I'm happy with it.
You always seem so positive on your channel. Do you ever have bad days?
I'm human, and I do have my bad days, but I wouldn't make a video about it. I see my channel as something that's hopefully going to improve someone's day. YouTube is a lot of people's nice, fun escape from life, so I want to make my channel as enjoyable as possible. If I'm having a terrible week, I'll just switch off the camera and come back to it when I'm feeling recharged and happy.
What did your parents think about you starting YouTube as a career?
Thankfully, they've always been incredibly supportive. When I was living at home and had about 10,000 subscribers, it still wasn't much of a job, but I told my parents I was really passionate about it, and they agreed that I should give it a year and just see how it goes. Best decision ever.
Not only do you have a BA in English Language and Linguistics, but you also have an MA in Post-Production. That's quite impressive.
I mean, no one wants to brag about academic achievements, but I did really try hard with my MA, and it helps out loads with my channel too. I spent an entire summer in a dark editing suite doing my dissertation. I don't think I've ever been so pale.
Are there any videos that you haven't been happy with?
I made a video called Dog-a-likes, which seemed like an awesome idea at the time, but it turns out comparing YouTubers to dogs wasn't the greatest idea I've had. Which is fine, I just unlisted that one pretty quickly.
What is your favorite video that you have made?
The punk edits in real life was really fun to make. I also pranked my mum by telling her I actually got the giant neck tattoo. Another video I loved making was the Tumblr tag videos with Dan. It's just nice to see how creative and mildly disturbing our audience is.
finally, Phil, can you show us what is behind the camera?
Well, here you go. It's just a white wall and a camera. No giant film crew or spaceship, unfortunately.
Wow, I feel so privileged to have been shown this. Thank you very much for your time, Phil.
You're welcome, Blake.
Amazing Phil Video Trivia.
Original ideas for my channel name were Buffy Phil, Lion Phil, Phil 666, Fantastic Phil, Phil World, and Phil 3000. My lion was in one of the first fan mail packages I ever opened, and it came from Japan. I almost deleted the entire channel after getting a hate comment on one video. So glad I didn't. I didn't tell my friends I made YouTube videos until they all saw me featured on the front page. That was a very weird conversation to have. I have over 100 private videos, mainly because they make me cringe so much I don't want millions of people to watch them. Here's some of the thumbnails, though. Do you want to have a look at that, Dan?
Wow. What is reality test?
That was a very strange video I made about dreams. As you see, my hair is longer than my mum's hair.
I can see your belly button in extreme weather. What's that about?
That was a clickbait thumbnail. Thought people would want to click on someone's
belly. Nice, showing off the abs. And what is danger in caps lock?
I actually have no idea, so there's probably a good reason why I privated that one.
What an archaeological find.
Phil Is Not On Fire 5 had an unseen 20 minutes of footage, which was lost when I dropped the SD card into a glass of milk. In 2008, I made a video called The Truth, where I pretended to be an American called Kyle, and I joked that I'd invented the Phil character, as I thought British people were cool. Turned out the accent was too convincing, and a load of people believed me. I never did post an explanation, so sorry to anyone who still thinks I'm secretly American. We were going to refilm the Green Velvet Cake Halloween baking video with a new recipe after they turned out to be swampy brown cakes, but we thought the footage was too funny not to use. 1% of my audience is aged 65 plus. I hope they still draw whiskers on their faces. I made the toilet tag video after dreaming it became the next huge craze on YouTube. Thanks for that one, Brain. At least the 7-second challenge happened, though.
Trivia!
I discovered my videos were frequently viewed on a forum for people with sneeze fetishes. They slow down my sneezes and talk about what I might be allergic to. Not creepy at all. I never planned for Draw Phil Naked to be a thing. I just showed one someone sent me in a video and then loads of people started joining in. Things on my failed list of ideas include changing colour t-shirt dance, vlog about whales, and 100 thoughts I've had today. Also, here is where I'm most popular. Top locations are US, then UK, then Canada, Australia, Germany, Sweden, Ireland, New Zealand, Netherlands, and Singapore. So if you're from any of those places, give yourself a high five.
Wow, way to exclude every other country.
You can give yourself a little nose tickle.
A nose tickle.
Enjoy that, Russia.
Now, who's in the mood for something actually helpful? This is our guide to being a YouTuber.
One of the things we are always asked the most is advice on being a YouTuber. So many people out there want to try making videos themselves, but have no idea where to start. So I thought we had to answer this in our book. Dan isn't convinced this is a good idea.
I am just saying that we are making this whole thing for people to remember our world far into the future, and YouTube probably won't exist then. Google will just be known as the all-powerful AI that controls and farms humanity as a resource in the inevitable post-singularity future.
Well, how's about as well as helping the people alive now with interesting advice, we can think of it as a way to preserve our video-making advice for history.
Now that sounds more like it. Maybe this section will be preserved in the future, strange extinct intelligent species and what they did with their spare time exhibition at the Robot Museum.
Okay, Dan. So here's our combined wisdom and advice on the world of YouTube. Why?
The first question is, why do you want to do this? To be creative? To share your life with the world? To make new friends? To show off your microwave juggling skills? Think about what is motivating you to make videos. It's always better if people have a genuine motivation behind wanting to be on YouTube other than just being famous. What?
What kind of videos do you want to make? It's completely up to you. Are you a filmmaker, a comedian, a vlogger, a gamer, a chef? Think about what you are passionate about and what you can offer to the world. Remember, it's okay to be inspired by others, but it's not cool to copy. Think about what you like in various YouTubers and why, then try and create something original with your individual spin on it. In the beginning.
An introduction is always a great video. Dive straight into the kind of videos you're going to make on the channel and who you are. Maybe try doing it in a fun and different way that would get people talking about it. Of course, you can always use our super convenient YouTube video idea generator that's coming after this. Naming the channel.
This isn't going to be easy, as every human on Earth and their grandma has a YouTube account by now, so stumbling across a great name that isn't already taken is like stumbling across a shiny Pokemon.
Yes.
Make it memorable.
You want a name that sticks in the head of your viewer. Using your actual name can work well. Dan Howell works a lot better than XXGlitterDolphin14714, for example. It is also an instant introduction and makes you seem more real. Careful what you do if you use your real name, though.
Choose something easy to spell.
If someone hears about your channel by word of mouth, it has to be easy to spell. Serendipitously Susan in different caps lock may do less well than just Super Susan.
Choose something related to the channel.
It's always great to have the vibe of the channel in a username. For example, a gaming channel could use gaming-related words.
Now, no.
Numbers.
Try not to include numbers. Loads of numbers in a username can look a bit distracting and robot-like. We'd rather subscribe to Lizard Planet rather than 00Lizard1744-9857.
Similar names.
Don't make a channel name too similar to another YouTuber, unless you're creating a fan account. Moody Pie might not do as well as an original name, and people might think you're being a copycat.
Or a copy dog.
Oof.
Things you might regret later.
It might be fine now, but always think about the future. For example, if your YouTube channel explodes to 18 billion subscribers overnight and you're called Pepsi 23, might be an issue. Equipment.
Camera. These days, most phones or digital cameras are more than good enough for vlogging. Don't feel like you need a fancy DSLR or TV camera right from the start. When it comes to videos, the quality of the content is more important than the look.
Sound. People being able to hear you well is important. Try to record in a quiet room and make sure whatever microphone you use doesn't make things sound like they're underwater.
He just said, makes them sound like they're underwater. Just, you know.
We always recommend doing tests before properly filming things.
Lighting. You don't need anything super fancy for this either. Usually just a bright sunlit room will be fine. Just make sure the window isn't behind you or you'll look like an angel beaming into the room from heaven. If there is no sun, then you can DIY it by pointing a bright lamp at the wall behind the camera. Location.
This depends on what videos you want to make, but for vloggers, bedrooms and living rooms are great as they are intimate and feel like you're inviting the audience into your world. You can turn any space into a cool filming zone with objects that reflect your style and personality. Props.
Make sure you have everything you need before you start filming. There is nothing worse than getting halfway through a video and realizing you have no black pen to draw whiskers on yourself, or red wine to drink while giving advice, or a giant piece of cardboard for your brain. Plan ahead.
We don't recommend just turning on the camera and rambling. For some people it works out great. The rest of the time it's just 7 minutes of why. Don't start filming until you've gone over the whole thing in your head so you're ready to go. Filming.
Right, now it is time to film. We are not going to lie, talking to yourself alone in your bedroom is a bit weird. If you do have any housemates or parents, either wait until you're home alone or explain to them what you're doing in advance so you can feel confident. Setting up a camera pointing at your bed may confuse a lot of parents, so it's probably best to warn them before you start doing it.
At first, it might feel strange talking to no one, so imagine you're talking to a friend and you'll come across natural to the audience. Try to be enthusiastic so you command people's attention.
The first 20 seconds or so are the most important, so be energetic and to the point so you can draw your audience in.
Here's some good and bad examples of the first line of a video.
Hi, you'll never believe what happened yesterday. I was stalked by a seagull.
Yes, straight to the point.
Hi, I'm not really sure what to say, but I thought I'd just turn on the camera and see how this goes. Sorry that it's been a while.
No, this makes you sound like you don't have a clear reason for making the video and it isn't very engaging. Also, never waste time on apologizing for late videos or similar things. Just do it instead.
Editing.
Editing sounds complicated and scary, but it doesn't have to be. All you're doing is sticking the good bits of something together and adding things to it.
You don't need a fancy expensive program. Most computers come with free editing software that is perfectly fine for beginners. If you're ever confused, look up a YouTube tutorial. There are thousands of videos teaching you how to do absolutely everything.
For vlogs, we recommend editing out all the ums and ahs to make it snappy and find some kind of music to make it nice to listen to.
Not Britney Spears though, or you'll be smited by the copyright bot. When we've finished editing, we always show our videos to our friends for any feedback, as it is really useful to hear other people's perspectives. Title.
Short and snappy titles are usually the best. Though if you've seen our Bible-length Dan and Phil Games titles, you'll know that we don't always follow that rule. Try and think of something related to the video that will make people curious enough to click on it. Seagull Stalker would sound much more exciting than My Holiday in France. Try not to be too cheesy or clickbaity, though. Thumbnail.
Choose a nice, clear close-up of yourself talking or a key point of the video that makes it look like something you want to see moving. Uploading.
It's best to upload in the evenings as more people will be hanging out on their computers rather than being at school or work or asleep. Why is nobody watching?
Okay, great, I've made a video and it's up. How do I get someone to watch it?
Unfortunately, there's no magic formula to getting subscribers, unless PewDiePie is secretly a genie, but here are some tips. Make friends in the community. You might be lost in the comments on a huge YouTuber's video, but there's always people starting out YouTube looking for friends. Comment on their videos and collaborate with people you like. Don't advertise yourself by spamming people's comments, though. If your content's good, then people will notice. Integrity's important.
Use social media. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and all the other accounts that people use to share their favorite clips. You can share your videos with your friends and family, and if you have a place for your audience to follow you, they can share and support your content too.
Stick at it. It took over a year for my Amazing Phil channel to get over 100 subscribers. Most successful YouTubers made videos for years without anyone watching it, and they just did it because they loved it. If you're doing it because you enjoy it, then it shouldn't matter how many people watch. Even if you get 100 views on a video, that's 100 people whose days you've improved.
There is so much we could say about this that it could fit in its own book one day, but we hope any budding YouTubers out there found this helpful.
Good luck! And now it is time for the YouTube Video Idea Generator.
We all know that creativity can be hard, especially when starting out, you have a camera, your brain, and the infinite possibilities of the universe. What do you make a video about?
The question I get asked the most is, I want to be a YouTuber, what should my first video be about? So we've created a handy YouTube Video Idea Generator.
Yep, why put yourself through the stress of being original when you can throw a bunch of things that already exist together to make something new? We take no responsibility for any incidents that occur as a result of using this generator. So, to take part in this, audiobook listeners, you need to get ready to note something down. Listen out for your birth month and your birth date being listed, and then write down what Phil says. For January,
vlog about.
For February,
blindfolded draw.
March,
perform a song about.
April,
create an artistic film about.
May,
make a costume of.
June,
rant for 1 minute about.
July,
prank someone using.
August,
do an interpretive dance about.
September,
do a beauty tutorial on how to look like.
October,
make a music video about.
November,
have a rap battle against.
And December,
create a life-size plasticine stop-motion film of.
Now listen out for your birth date. If it is the first of the month,
a warthog.
Second,
a cactus.
Third,
lizards.
Fourth,
an octopus.
Fifth,
Godzilla.
Sixth,
a houseplant.
Seventh,
your mum.
Eight,
a goose.
Nine,
the Eiffel Tower.
10,
your favourite emoji.
11,
bees.
12,
Phil's ear.
13,
an old lady called Dorothy.
14,
an ear hair.
15,
a spoon.
16,
a narwhal.
17.
Bacon.
18.
A sock.
19.
A slice of beef.
20.
Death.
21.
Butt.
22.
Unicorns.
23.
The end of the world.
24.
A tiny seal.
25.
Your pet.
26.
The planet Jupiter.
27.
A speck of dust.
28.
A llama.
29.
A lion.
30.
Pancakes.
And 31.
Your greatest fear.
Now hopefully you will have just written down a phrase for your month and a phrase for your date. Put those two together and that is your YouTube video idea. So Phil, why don't you give us an example? What do you get?
I'm January the 30th, so I have to vlog about pancakes.
Nice.
I mean, I've already kind of done that, haven't I?
And look at where you are today.
Yeah.
It works, people.
What about you, Dan?
I will be ranting for 1 minute about bees. Nice.
I look forward to watching that video.
An important topic.
I like bees.
What was the dangerous one, though? Oh, yeah, 21st of September. You might want to keep that one private. Don't put that public on the internet.
No. We look forward to watching all the incredible videos this generator will create.
The Emoji Interview. Answer only using emojis.
Phil, how is this going to work for the audiobook?
I think we're just going to have to describe the emojis.
This is going to be a strange experience.
Okay.
How are you?
Coffee cup, sunglasses face, peace sign.
Grinning face, okay sign.
Most recently used emojis.
Brown haired guy, sparkles, snowflake, Christmas tree, shocked face, birthday present, Santa, winky face, smiley face, cat grin, happy eyes grin, love face, sad face, plane, weird mirror, bath, sun, cat grinning, purple devil, dragon balloon, train grin, party popper, and refresh.
Grinning face star, turtle star, grimacing face, balloon, exclamation mark, cardboard box, tongue out with closed eyes, horse question mark, sad face, dancing lady, rocket ship, embarrassed face, fire, skull, thumbs up, snowflake, shocked, concerned, slightly concerned, sparkles, and a fox.
Find an emoji you have never used.
The ladies' slipper emoji.
A sideways traffic light.
favourite emoji?
The alien.
The warthog.
What was the first thing you did when you woke up?
Snowflake, brown-haired guy, snowflake, bikini, t-shirt, pants, fire, thumbs up.
Coffee.
Describe your dream last night.
Devil, shocked face, running away, devil, saxophone, man, explosion, skull, happy brown-haired guy, party popper.
Octopus, octopus, building, fire, shocked, run away, octopus, shocked face, octopus, lick, death.
What does your ideal Saturday evening consist of?
Sad face, then pizza, then happy face, then pizza, 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 then death.
Movie camera and pizza.
What is the last thing you will see before you die?
Explosion, revolver, horse, soon.
Alien face.
What will you be doing in 20 years?
Ice cream, crying, games controller, dreaming, money, money.
Old man, speaking, camera.
What does the future look like?
Bowing, praying, Easter Island statue, sparkles, cloud, cloud, alien, waving.
Tidal wave, octopus, crown.
What is your worst nightmare?
Fire, computer, fire.
Horse, knife.
What would you buy with £10 million?
Rocket ship, diamond, cookie, chocolate bar, donut.
Roller coaster.
What is your first memory?
Impact, squelching, man in mask, baby.
You remember being born?
Oh yeah.
What?
We'll talk about this later.
Okay. A shoe.
What do you do on a plane?
Indifferent face, cocktail, question mark, screen.
Glasses, book.
Dream holiday.
No people sign, sleeping face, fingernails being painted, spaghetti bolognese, book.
Japanese flag.
What has writing this book been like?
Grinning face, thoughts, exclamation mark, pen, cry laugh.
Excited face.
Phil, describe Dan in 4 emojis.
Computer game alien, spaghetti, thought bubble, music symbols.
Dan, describe Phil in 4 emojis.
Black-haired guy with mustache, warthog, shooting star, video game alien.
Goodbye.
Waving hands, brown-haired guy, one hunter.
Sleeping face.
So we decided to put an entire double-page spread of unsuccessful selfies in the book.
Why did we decide to do this? This is so embarrassing.
I think, like, it's a relatable piece of life that not enough people know is out there. I think it's important every now and then to just admit to things that are really embarrassing to make other people not feel too weird.
I love how many you took in the Wildcats top. That's hilarious. You're doing the same hand in every face.
You're doing the same face in every single one that you took. How many of you did you take in bed with your glasses on?
Yeah, I have a variety. I've got yawning, I've got a bit scared, shocked. Yours are all like the same expression.
Either way, we did exactly the same thing for an entire screen worth of photos.
Shout out to me and the goat. That goat stayed there for a long time, didn't it?
Well, I don't think you should take any advice from that when it comes to squirrels, Phil.
No. Dan and Phil Games.
Player 3. Dill.
Internet name.
Dill Jermichael Halter.
Height.
6'2".
Favourite colour.
Clown pyjama green.
Animal of choice.
Jonathan the Minnow.
Weakness.
Delicate crockery.
Special power.
Surviving multiple electrocutions.
Quote.
Benzi Chibal Ubal Bazimni Gweb. And now it is time for Draw Dill's Life. Phil, I just realised that they won't understand Simish, so should we maybe translate the panels of the comic for them?
Let's try.
Okay. In the beginning, Dill was created.
By two guys called Dan and Phil.
They sat at their desk recording the entire thing.
There were many things I could have turned out to be.
But then they decided what I looked like and gave me a name, Dill Halter.
They chose many weird outfits for me to wear, including a clown suit, a hot dog suit, and a strange biker outfit for working out.
They built me a house in a town called Oasis Springs.
Here's a picture of my swaggy house.
I think they messed up the roof, and they started to call it an owl slide.
My dream is to be a mixologist, I'm very clumsy, and I have a fish.
Here are some of my favourite possessions, including my porcelain pig, my penguin TV, the tiny blue violin, my lapels, Susan the fish, and my speaker that nearly killed me.
Most of the time I just worry about paying the bills, but my dream is to one day fall in love.
Welcome back to Behind the Camera.
Dan and Phil Games. So guys, why a gaming channel?
Basically, we spent all of our free time when we weren't making Dan is Not on Fire and Amazing Phil videos playing video games. So we thought, hey, why not just film it and put it on the internet?
It's something we'd both talked about individually for ages.
Yeah, literally. I have a file on my computer from 2012 when I was about to make one.
Here's it say, gaming channel, Dan is Not Online, thinking about gaming shows, Let's Plays, scariest PS1 moments, whatever's
whoa,
trendy.
Whoa, spoilers. We might use some of this for our channel now.
Okay, we won't say anything. Why didn't you?
Mainly because of Radio 1 and we were moving to London. We thought we'd settle into London life and see how things were going before starting a big new thing. Turns out that settling in took a year and a half. So why did you guys make a joint gaming channel?
Mainly because if we were both invested in it, we couldn't procrastinate away from it individually. We figured we'd feature in each other so often, then we might as well do it together. Plus, our audience loves videos twice as much if it's a Dan and Phil thing.
Was it always going to be called Dan and Phil Games?
We settled on that in the end, as it's basically just the best name, but we had some alternatives. I just found the file of our brainstorm.
Okay, so we had Dan and Phil Games,
Gold Saucer,
Pixel Shark,
Space Impact,
Hyperbeam,
Digital Shark,
and